Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy game day, Packers fans. Welcome in to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can find me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys being here. Appreciate you making Pack-A-Day part of your game day routine. Before we jump into today's episode, we're going to break down, these are some of my favorite episodes to do because it's so fun to break down, in this case, Packers-Lions, a massive, massive Thursday night football game. We'll get to all that in just a moment. First off, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day podcast members, Kurt Meister, Aaron Davis, Alejandro Garcia, Gorilla Nation, and Manuel Mestizo. Thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to check out those Pack-A-Day podcast memberships. Super fun. Great episode today with Aaron Nagler and I breaking down Packers lines, everything you need to know. So you can check that out. If you want to check out Aaron Nagler and I, you can also check it out on Cheesehead TV. Make sure you're making Cheesehead TV part of your daily routine as well. But that's available there for members. Extra Q&As. It's all there. So check out those memberships. Also want to get into our Luigi's Pizza player to watch for this one. It is simple for me. I cannot wait to watch Quay Walker in this game. I've said it all week. Two games back-to-back where he's looked night and day different from where he's been really at any point in his 2.5-year career up until these past two games. Coming off a tough game against Chicago, I don't know if he reevaluated everything, if it's just new habits, if he said, screw it, we're going to try something different. I don't know what it is. But that Quay Walker that we saw over the past 2 weeks is night and day different than what we saw earlier in his career and certainly early in this season. And there are some things you can explain away. We have seen third-year jumps for linebackers in the past. That is something that legitimately happens at that position. This is a new defense with Jeff Hafley, so maybe it took half a season into this defense, fitting him maybe a little bit better. Or it's also possible that it was a two-game fluke and it was just an aberration, and we are not going to know for sure until we continue to see it week after week. But as Matt LaFleur likes to say, the standard is the standard, and Quay Walker just set a new standard for himself over these past 2 weeks. And man, am I excited to see what he can do in a big-time game against the Detroit Lions, a game where you are going up against a physical opponent, an opponent that wants to run right at you. Let's see what Quay Walker has. And in a game where you're going to need to get pressure on Jared Goff, well, Quay Walker, 4 pressures last week against Miami. I'm excited to watch him. And if he can play that way, and this is just the new world of Quay Walker, and this is the new version of him, whew, is that a fun addition to this team? Talk about who you could get at the trade deadline, who you could sign, who you could pick up. How about taking one of your linebackers who was really struggling and turning him into a big-time middle linebacker? That would be quite the addition for this team. I am hoping to see it. My Luigi's Pizza player to watch has to be Quay Walker. And of course, if you're talking about the standard being the standard, Luigi's Pizza is the standard bearer. Make sure to check them out as well. And of course, we'll do our victory Friday, but we'll still tweet Luigi's hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday. So immediately following, hopefully this Packers win over the Lions, hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday, and you'll be entered to win a free case of frozen pizza. So you're going to want to check that out as well. All right, let's get to our injury report. Packers, some bad injury news. Lions, some bad injury news. Let's start with the Packers side of things. Jaire Alexander, Romeo Doubs, Edgerrin Cooper, Corey Ballantyne are all out for this game. Not ideal. Now, Corey Ballantyne, get by with that, right? Hopefully he gets healthy. He's a nice depth piece. He's good on special teams, but you can get by without Corey Ballantyne. I don't think anyone's super concerned over that, but you would like to have him, of course. Edgerrin Cooper, you won with out last week. Isaiah McDuffie, Quay Walker, we just talked about. McDuffie had a really nice week last week. And then you still have Eric Wilson, who's had some really good games this season. You can probably get by. You'd love to have Edgerrin Cooper, but they have the depth at that position. You can still win there. Romeo Doubs, one of the positions of most depth on this entire team. They're still going to have Jaden Reed. They're still going to have Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks, Bo Melton, Malik Heath. Like, they're going to have good wide receivers in this game, not to mention Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs, and the stable of running backs that they have, Ben Sims. They're going to have weapons. They're going to have playmakers. I'm not concerned over that. Would you love to have Romeo Doubs? You absolutely would. And then, of course, the big one is Jaire Alexander. And that just sort of limits some of the stuff that Jeff Hafley has at his disposal. It gives you more options if Jair Alexander's out there. You're comfortable playing a little bit more man-to-man coverage. You can put Jair on key receivers in key moments if you want. Like, it just gives Jeff Hafley more options to do a variety of different things. And without Jair, you're a little bit more handcuffed on the things that you can actually do, especially when the Lions have a receiver like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who you would love to have Jair Alexander covering as much as possible. Now, it's never quite that easy, all right? If Jair is out there, they're going to move and they try to put him on Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're going to move Amon-Ra St. Brown all the way around and put him in the slot and just make it so that it's difficult for Jair just to go one-on-one against him, right? Not to mention that Green Bay plays a ton of zone defense. So it's not quite that simple, but you would still like him out there as much as possible. And you're likely to get some of those matchups against Amon-Ra St. Brown through the course of the game, which is helpful. Or even if it's Jameson Williams or whomever, you still want Jair out there. Unfortunately, he will not be out there. So Alexander, Dobbs, Cooper, Ballantyne, all out. There's no other questionables, doubtfuls, anything. Everyone else is good to go, but those four are absolutely out. Four players for the Lions. No questionables, no doubtfuls, but four players who are out for Detroit as well. All very consequential as well. Taylor Decker, left tackle, going to be out. Dan Skipper, in all likelihood, will be their starter at left tackle. Skipper's a solid, good, average rotational player. He's not Taylor Decker. That gives you a potential weakness to attack. Levi Onwuzurike, Josh Pascal, and DJ Reader, three defensive linemen that already goes with Aiden Hutchinson, that already goes with John Kaminsky. They released James Houston a couple weeks ago. Like, they are, I don't want to say weak at that position, but their depth is being severely tested. Now, they did go get Za'Darius Smith at the trade deadline. He'll be out there. Aleem McNeil, one of the better defensive tackles in the league. They just gave him that huge contract. He'll be out there. The cupboard's not entirely bare, but man, it could be so much more stocked if they did not have all these injuries. And to be clear, I wish there were no injuries for either team in this game. You want to see the best of the best go at it at 100%. Unfortunately, we do not live in that utopian world. We cannot turn the Madden slider to injuries off. These things happen, and both teams are going to be affected by it. And I think in a pretty significant way. Detroit, I think a little bit more so, especially with guys like Aiden Hutchinson out as well. It's a tough ask for all the injuries. Alex Anzalone on the second level is a big loss at their linebacker group. Malcolm Rodriguez, they are missing a ton of guys. But Green Bay's injuries going to be impactful as well. Who handles those injuries better? Going to go a long way in deciding this game. All right, let's look at who could the Packers could potentially call up in this game from the practice squad if need be. All right, remember, out in this game, Jair Alexander, Romeo Dobbs, Edgerrin Cooper, Corey Ballantyne. We just went over that, but those are the players who are missing. Edgerrin Cooper, actually, let's start with Romeo Dobbs. Romeo Dobbs, you probably don't need any replacement for. You have five wide receivers on the roster, okay? You're good there. Edgerrin Cooper, they went with only four linebackers last week without Edgerrin Cooper. My guess is they will probably do that again. You know, the one potential call-up there would be Michael Barrett, the new linebacker on the practice squad. You're not calling him up in that case to do anything at linebacker, right? Even from a depth standpoint, like, he just got here. It would be like if you really wanted Michael Barrett, the special teams player. Like, if you needed another linebacker on teams, then that's what you would call Michael Barrett up for. Or if you were really worried about the depth at the position of just like, oh my goodness, if we have two injuries, like, we're going to need three linebackers in this game at all times. But my guess is they still just go with the four linebackers in Wilson, McDuffie, Quay, and Tyron Hopper. So that's my guess, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that they could call up Michael Barrett if they wanted that fifth linebacker. Just don't expect it. Then you have Corey Ballantyne and Jair Alexander both out. And that makes it a little bit more interesting at corner. Now, I don't think they have to call up a corner. All right. You have Jair, or sorry, you don't have Jair Alexander. You have Eric Stokes. You have Carrington Ballantyne. And then Keyshawn Nixon. All right, you've got your three primary corners, and then you still have Robert Rochelle as your fourth, plus you have Javon Bullard, who's likely going to play a ton of the game in the slot, all right? So you've got Bullard in the slot, Nixon on one side, and then you've got Stokes on the other, or Ballantyne on the other. Those two probably rotating again for whatever reason, but those two probably rotating. If somebody gets hurt, if Bullard goes down, Nixon moves to the slot, and whoever isn't in, Ballantyne or Stokes comes in, right? And then if one of your outside corners goes down, whether it's Nixon or Ballantyne or Stokes, then whoever's not playing, Ballantyne or Stokes, comes in for their spot. And then even if you have another one after that, then you have Robert Rochelle still to come in. So I don't think you actually probably need to call up a corner. My guess is that they will. You don't need nine offensive linemen active for this game, so they will likely deactivate one of their offensive linemen. It has been Jacob Monk the last couple weeks. My guess is it's going to be him again, but we have seen Andre Dillard deactivated. We've seen Kadeem Telford deactivated. We've seen Travis Glover deactivated. So you never quite know for sure, but it's going to be one of those offensive linemen, and I do think they call up a corner. Now, if you are listening to me on Packaday Live, I just went through the whole Kalen King thing, and people are getting way out of like, they've got to call up Kalen King. They've got to call up Kalen King. They've had multiple opportunities to call up Kalen King so far and have not done so. However, what I will say is if there is an opportunity to call up Kalen King, this might be the game. And the reason being is Corey Ballantyne does actually play some in the slot in the dime. Okay. If they wanted another potential slot corner for this game, but you know, with Ballantyne being out, obviously Jair Alexander's being out, not that he plays in the slot a ton, but just in general, you want to call up a corner. They have two options: Kamal Haddon, who they've called up twice already, but probably a little bit more of an outside corner, or Kalen King, who can help you potentially in the slot as well. They don't really need an outside corner, right? Nixon can play outside, Rochelle can play outside, Stokes can play outside, Ballantyne can play outside. And if they want to be able to keep Nixon on the outside in certain situations, you know, obviously if Bullard would go down, I think Nixon just moves into the slot there. But if they wanted to keep Nixon outside for some reason, you would need another slot guy. So it is possible, I think, in this game that we could see Kalen King called up. But my expectation here is that your inactives will be Jair Alexander, Romeo Doubs, Edgerrin Cooper, Corey Ballantyne, no breaking news there. And then one of the offensive linemen, likely Jacob Monk. And I think either Kamal Haddon or Kalen King will get called up. I will lean Kamal Haddon in this case, but not impossible that it could be Kalen King. All right, let's get to our keys for this one. Packers go into this game, at least as of recording this, as 3-point underdogs. The Lions are 3-point favorites in this game. And this is an interesting game for Green Bay. I talked to Aaron Nagler about this. I kind of asked him the question as well. I've been asked it quite a bit. Like, how important is this game for Green Bay? Realistically, there's not a ton on the line in this game. If you look at the New York Times simulator right now and kind of going through some of the playoff scenarios, right now, going into this game, Green Bay's a 99% chance to make the playoffs. They have a 95% chance of playing on the road as the wild card team, meaning they're 5, 6, or 7 seeded, right? They have a 3% chance of hosting a wild card game, which means they win the division but don't win the conference. They have a 2% chance of winning the conference and a 1% chance to be out of the playoffs. That's where the New York Times simulator has them at as of right now, before the game. If the Packers were to lose, their chances of making the playoffs go down to the exact same, still 99%. In this case, it would be a 99% chance that they would play on the road as a wild card team, a less than 1% chance to host the wild card, a less than 1% chance to win the NFC, and a still 1% chance of missing the playoffs. That's where you're at. So you go from a 3% chance, or I guess a 5% chance of, you know, winning the division basically, to less than 1%. Not a massive difference, a small one. If they were to win this game, they go to a greater than 99% chance to make the playoffs, 89% chance to play on the road as the wildcard team, 7% chance to host a wildcard game or win the division, and 4% chance to actually win the entire NFC, a less than 1% chance of missing the playoffs. So they do go up to an 11% chance of winning the division in that scenario if they beat Detroit. You're still looking at pretty long odds even at that point. Regardless of any of that, how important is it to go into Detroit, get a win, and set the standard, set the tone of this is the team that you are? I go back and forth on this. The biggest thing actually for me is I think if you get this win against Detroit, it continues to make the remainder of your games still feel pretty important. There's a world in which you lose to Detroit, beat Seattle, clinch a playoff berth, and you have three basically meaningless games after that. Now, Green Bay would clearly not treat them that way, and it's possible that you may need a game more to clinch or whatever it might be, but there is a world, I believe, in which you could lose to Detroit, beat Seattle, and you're clinching a playoff berth with three games left. Knowing that you can't win the division, that your best case scenario is a 5, 6, or 7 seed, you're going to get one of those no matter what, and you don't have a ton to play for over the last 3 weeks. And I do think it's important that you have that continued push and are really working towards something in the final stretch of the season, hopefully trying to win an NFC North division title and get that home game to begin with, and maybe even win the NFC. As unlikely as it is, I think that push towards the end propels you. Now, that being said, if you win this game against Detroit, the overwhelming odds are that you are a wildcard team. If you lose this game to Detroit, the overwhelming odds are that you are a wildcard team. I actually don't think this game is quite as important as maybe it looks like on paper. Now, I would love this win against Detroit. Do not get me wrong. But sometimes, and I was talking about this on Packaday Live as well, the season finds its way to meander in weird, odd, and crazy ways. If Green Bay is going to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to beat Detroit, probably in Detroit. In all likelihood, there's always things that could happen, right? But in all likelihood, they're going to have to beat Detroit in Detroit. Maybe it's better that that win comes in the divisional round of the playoffs. Maybe a loss to Detroit, maybe at the last second, motivates this team. Maybe it's the final thing that it needs to really push this team in the right direction, to go on a run, to get ticked off, to understand where their weaknesses are and what they need to learn and what they need to get better at so that they can beat Detroit come playoff time. Maybe they get the win now and it ticks Detroit off and Detroit recognizes some of their weaknesses and they fix it and come playoff time, Detroit gets a win over Green Bay in the playoffs. We are officially in the thick of holiday season and there's only one thing better than the spirit of giving, and that's the spirit of winning. And right now you can make your holidays bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the absolute best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. This holiday season, Prize Picks is giving away 2 free picks in December, and they're giving away $30+ million in rewards during Picksmas. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You do not even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Think James Cook will get more than 60 yards next week? Joe Burrow more than 1.5 touchdowns? Whatever you think, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season, and you can turn your sports knowledge into real money in less than 60 seconds. This week, I'm going with Amon-Ra St. Brown on Thursday Night Football, yes, against Green Bay, but I'm also going with a huge day from Jaden Reed. During the weekend, I'm going with Aaron Jones to have a big bounce back week against Atlanta and George Kittle to have a monster day against Chicago. However you want to pick, make sure to download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. There's absolutely nothing like seeing a football game live, and that's even more so in Green Bay than in any other city or in any other stadium. I had the absolute best time going to the Houston game earlier this year as my son got to see his first regular season game live, and let me just tell you, it was absolutely perfect. And there's no question about it. The best and easiest way to get tickets is on Game Time. Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. When I started using Game Time, it was so easy to use, and Game Time filtered out all the extra garbage to show me just the incredible deals that they had on all the great seats. It was simple, efficient, and unbelievably easy to use. It was also super helpful seeing the seat views before buying. And enough with all the false advertising on pricing. Turn on all-in pricing on Game Time to see the total upfront cost with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. My point is, we can't see how this path is going to go. There's a world in which Green Bay wins against Detroit easily tomorrow and doesn't make it out of the first round of the playoffs. There's a world in which they lose to Detroit tomorrow, maybe even easily, and they go on and make a push towards a Super Bowl, maybe even win a Super Bowl. The season will not be decided one way or the other in this game against Detroit. I think the advantages of winning are that you get proof of concept that you can go out and win this game and go on the road and beat anybody. And I think that's an important thing as you get ready to head into the postseason. I think it gives you that boost of confidence that you are a legitimate contender. I think it gives you the opportunity to still keep that division hope open. And I think it gives you something to play for the remainder of the season, which I also believe is a very important thing. But a loss, I think there are things that you can still take away from that, lessons that you can learn, and maybe it's that final motivating factor as well. I am not trying to spin this and say, hey, a loss is okay. That's no big deal. I'm not saying that. Of course we want to win. Of course you want to beat Detroit. Of course that's a better outcome. I'm not spinning this fully. I'm just saying the season's not going to be decided on this, and we don't know what the next turn is going to bring. for either of these teams. And injuries are going to play a major factor. Matchups are going to play a major factor. And we have to kind of let the rest of this play out. But of course, we want to see Green Bay go and get this. I just don't think it's the be-all, end-all. I don't think we're going to get a final answer of like, oh, Green Bay lost by 15. They're clearly not contenders. Or, oh, Green Bay won, and they're clearly one of the best teams in the league, and they're going to have the opportunity to go in. It's going to take still some growth. There's a lot of time left. We are still over a month away from playoff time. A lot can happen with injuries and different things for all teams in the NFC and quite frankly, in the AFC as well. So let's give this some time. Don't panic too much if Detroit gets the better of Green Bay in this one. Don't overcompensate and like get super excited if Green Bay goes in and beats Detroit easily in this one. A lot of time left. Still a lot of lessons to be learned. And I guarantee you the tape is going to tell you some of the things they did well and some of the things they did poorly, whether they win or lose this game. And it's going to be up to how this team performs in January, not on December 5th. So I think it's an important game, but I don't think it's quite maybe to the level that some people are thinking it is. But my goodness, is it a hell of a game, and I can't wait for it. And it does have all the feels of a heavyweight fight. And that's all that you could ask for. Primetime game, heavyweight fight in Detroit. Division for Green Bay truly on the line. They lose and it's just that dream is done. Even if the win doesn't necessarily open up a window huge to win the division, it still is. It's done if you lose, right? So there is still stuff at stake here, and it should be a massively fun matchup. All right, let's get to the keys to the game. Number one is not going to surprise you at all. And I'm only doing 10 keys to this game because number one is going to basically encompass a ton of them. Number one is the trenches on both sides. And yes, you can talk about the trenches every single week. I get that. But the injuries in this one, specifically for Detroit, changed the calculus massively from where they were at when Detroit was just in Green Bay a handful of weeks ago. Not even that, right? 4 weeks ago. Let's start with the Lions offensive line. Taylor Decker being out is a massive loss. And I've kind of joked about this. I joked about with Nagler. I think I said on Packet. Like there's a flaw in the Death Star now for Detroit. And that's Dan Skipper. You have an offensive lineman for Detroit that you can attack more aggressively. And like I said, I think very highly of Dan Skipper. I think he's a really good, you know, a solid, nice rotational piece, nice depth piece at offensive tackle. He's not, you know, he's not their starter, right? He is not what you want at that left tackle spot. He's just not as good as Taylor Decker is, period, end of story. And we already saw Rashawn Gary rotated over to right defensive end to go against Taylor Decker because you don't want to have him go against Penei Sewell. Now he gets to go against Dan Skipper if you want to do that. Or who's ever over there gets a much easier matchup than what Taylor Decker would be. So I think that is a key one. Even regardless of that, even if Dan Skipper goes out and plays the game of his life, at some point for this Green Bay front group, they're going to have to win against a very good offensive line and show that they can get pressure on Jared Goff and stop the run. I've seen a lot of positive signs, especially against Miami this past week, that this defensive front is playing better football. A little bit more physical, a little bit more attacking, getting off of blocks better, getting after the quarterback more, sometimes with pressure, meaning additional blitzes and pressure, sometimes with simulated pressure, sometimes with just three or four guys. But the signs are there. Kenny Clark looks a little bit better. Rashawn Gary looks better. I like the Mosby, Brenton Cox additions and what they're bringing to the table right now. LVN has shown improvement over the past couple weeks. So I want to see this defensive front get after Jared Goff, and I want to see them stop the run to a much better ability than, you know, I think a lot of teams have had success against Sonic and Knuckles in this Lions backfield. So that's an important one. And then on the other side, for Green Bay's offensive line, this is a matchup you can't just win. You need to win significantly. You need to sort of win with ease. Alim McNeil's tough. Za'Darius Smith is probably going to make a play or two in this game, but you can use Za'Darius Smith's over-aggressiveness against him, and Alim McNeil is not enough to be the difference maker. And then it's just rotational players for Detroit. I thought last time they played each other in Green Bay, the offensive line, for the most part, gave Jordan Love a lot of time, a lot of protection, and there were running lanes open early in that game before they had to get away with it because they were down 24-3. Green Bay is going to be able to give Jordan Love time, and they're going to be able to run the football with Josh Jacobs. But this offensive line, I didn't think they played their best game against Miami last week. I thought there were a lot of opportunities where the offensive line could have played a lot better. They need to learn from that, own up to their mistakes, and be better this week against Detroit, against a completely decimated front seven for the Lions. This should be the matchup right here. Green Bay's offensive line against the Lions' decimated front seven. If Green Bay can go out and win that easily, that is a huge opportunity for this offense to put up a ton of points, because that's going to make it very challenging to stop Josh Jacobs. You're going to give Jordan Love a lot of time. Those wide receivers are going to get open, and this offense should have a massive game. So to me, trenches is 1A, it's 1B, it's 1C. It's what I'm going to be watching early and often in this one. Can the Packers take advantage of Taylor Decker being out? Can they get there with four? And can the Packers offensive line protect and give the run blocking necessary to go out and win this game? It's going to be a massive, massive key to this one. Number two goes along with number one. It's a matchup of two physical teams. And I don't know that we would have said that, you know, going into the year, but it is the case now. Green Bay's playing more physical on offense. They're playing more physical on defense. They're playing more physical on special teams. Do I think it's quite to the level of the Lions? No. Do I think the Packers are going to want to go out and prove that it is to the level of the Lions? I do. And I don't know if they're going to be able to achieve that, but I think the mentality is going to be there. And I think that's a very exciting thing that they're going to go out and try to punch the Lions in the mouth. What does a bully doesn't like to be bullied, right? And to me, I think Green Bay is going to go in and say, we're going to be the bully in this game. Now, again, whether or not they can do that, that's a fun story to keep an eye on. But I think they're going to go in and say, we're going to go out and out-physical the Detroit Lions. Now, I don't think, and I'm not saying here, that they're going to try to redo their identity and all of a sudden become a, you know, just power run football team no matter what. Like, that's not who they are. There is a level of playmaking and finesse to this team as well that's important. But for the first time in a while, we are seeing physicality in all three phases. And I think this is going to be a really fun matchup. And I still expect Detroit to come out on the better end of that. I think they are the more physical team, but that gap is getting smaller and smaller. And Green Bay's physicality that they're playing with is important. And with the beat up players on the offense and defensive lines, I could see a world where Green Bay does play a bit more physical and is maybe able to win that trenches battle. So the physicality in this one, another key one to keep an eye on. Number three, you guys know me. I love kind of going a little bit outside the box when I can. That's all great and wonderful, but sometimes the obvious is the obvious and you have to say it anyway. Yes, you'd love to run the ball with Josh Jacobs and be a run first team as much as possible. You're going up against arguably the best team in football on the road in prime time. Quite frankly, this is why you give Jordan Love all the money and make him your franchise quarterback. Now, to be abundantly clear, I am not saying that Jordan Love needs to go out and be Superman in this game. I'm not saying that he needs to go out and prove to the world why they made him the, at the time, highest paid player in NFL history. In fact, I think if that's the mentality, I don't like Green Bay's chances. I don't think that's the way that you can go out and play this game. That you have to let this game come to you and make sure that you're taking the checkdowns when the checkdowns are there. And very similar game plan that we've seen over the last few weeks from Jordan Love and the Packers. But there's a good chance that the Lions get ahead at some point, take the lead. Maybe it's late in the game. Maybe you have to put a comeback together. These are the type of games where you're paid to go out and get Green Bay a win. And it's not all on Jordan. Not saying that at all. But if need be, if this doesn't maybe go according to plan, if you do get behind by a couple scores, if Josh Jacobs not able to get the ball going from a running standpoint, then it's Jordan Love time and it's go time and your team's counting on you. And I want to see how Jordan Love plays in this game. He did not have a good game against Detroit last time. Pick six was the complete game changer. He went from a competitive game to a non-competitive game in the blink of an eye. I want to see how he bounces back. He could end up with 13 of 18 for 200 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and have a phenomenal game, right? Doesn't always have to stack the box score up in any sort of significant way. But taking great care of the football, making a couple big-time throws when he needs to, and if he does need to lead that comeback, can he do it? This is a big-time Jordan Love game. It's a very big-time Detroit Lions team, and I want to see what Jordan's got in this one. And if they do need him, they do get down, they need gunslinger Jordan Love. They need him to put the cape on. Can he lead his team to victory? That's what I want to see in this one. Number four goes a little bit hand in hand with Jordan Love at number three. Those Lions linebackers are over aggressive. They will get caught off on play action and you can't attack the middle of the field. That being said, a lot of times the middle of the field, just over the top of it a little bit, are where Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph live. So you want to attack that area, but you also have to be cautious. You don't want any deflections, tip passes, anything overthrown, because Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch will make you pay for it. So you need to be cognizant and aware of where they are, but you also can't ignore the middle of the field. You have to attack it. They're going to give it to you. They're going to give you opportunities to hit it, but you have to be careful with the football. So it's a kind of like this double-edged sword of, you don't want to avoid it because they're leaving opportunities there, but you don't always just want to go full gunslinger either. You've got to be cognizant of where those guys are and not putting it in harm's way. So utilize that middle of the field, but also be aware of where those lurking two-headed monster, beautiful safeties are in Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, because they are devastating playmakers. And as we saw in the earlier game against Detroit, they will make you pay if you give them the opportunity. I know right now is a tough time for everyone. Grocery and gas prices are soaring, and with the holidays coming up, we could all use a little bit more disposable income. And when you've got less than stellar credit, your options can be limited. But I've got some great news for you. Kickoff can simplify credit building with plans that are the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit, making what feels impossible, possible. And best of all, no credit check is required. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Now, I discovered Kickoff online and it helped me build my credit fast. And as far as those results, users with credit under 600 increased their credit by an average of 28 points in the first month. It's simple. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows fast. And you can start building credit immediately for only $1 in your first month. Want more proof? Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store, and 98% are 5 stars. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Build your credit fast with Kickoff. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 28-point credit increase in the first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number five is yards after contact, and this is for both teams. Especially with Anzalone out, Malcolm Rodriguez out, which team rallies and tackles better and takes these weapons and gets them to the ground right away? David Montgomery, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. You can't let those guys get going and pick up, you know, instead of 5, 10, 15 yards, they go for 40, 45, 50 yards. Same thing with Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs, et cetera, Christian Watson. You've got to get them to the ground right away from a Detroit standpoint and make sure that they're not getting all the extra yardage in the world. So run after the catch is going to be important for the offenses, and rallying and tackling is going to be super important for the defenses. These are quarterbacks in Jared Goff and Jordan Love and systems with Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur that set their quarterbacks up for success and allow their playmakers to do a lot of the heavy lifting. Not always in Green Bay. They'll take some shots on the field, as will Detroit, with especially Jameson Williams. But this is two offenses that can take advantage of their playmakers and let them do a lot of the run after the catch. So the offenses that can do that, the defenses that can maintain that and contain it and make it that you cannot get the yards after the catch, again, going to be at a huge advantage in this one. So it's another key, and which team tackles better, doesn't allow those extra yards, those maybe hidden yards, going to be a big time advantage for that team. Number six, I don't need to go into it in great detail. We've seen good red zone offense, Green Bay. We've seen bad red zone offense, Green Bay, and it can be the entire difference in a game. And for Green Bay's defense, I expect Detroit to be able to move the football. Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, they're going to move the football. They're too good not to. Miami moved the football a ton as well, but Green Bay, bend, don't break, had the 4-and-out in the red zone, limited them on points, kept them under 20, and again, kind of put on a clinic on how to play bend but don't break defense. It's going to have to be another game where you kind of pick your poison and figure out what you want to make sure does not beat you and what you will kind of allow to happen. You're not going to be able to stop everything. But if you do have a little bit more of that bend but don't break mentality, well, then you cannot break. You can't give up those red zone scores. So I think red zone efficiency for both of these teams going to go a long way. Kind of goes without saying it's a big one every single week, especially with this Green Bay Packers team, but it's going to go a long way in this one as well. Number seven, more of just a footnote, beware the trick plays for both teams. Last time we've seen a trick play for Green Bay, it's been a while, right? Wouldn't shock me against Dan Campbell and this Lions team. Maybe Matt LaFleur has got something up his sleeve. And we know Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson always have something up their sleeve. So you have to be cognizant of it. Would not surprise me if we saw something from Green Bay in this one. Number eight, the other wide receivers. Not Christian Watson, not Tucker Kraft at tight end, not Jaden Reed, the others. You have no Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Bo Melton, Malik Heath. I think somebody's going to have to step up from that group. I'm hoping it's Dontavian Wicks, hoping he has an awesome game, a huge game. Almost just put him on this list, but somebody is going to have to step up. They're going to do everything they can to take away what Zach Cruz politely calls the psychos, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, and Josh Jacobs, making sure that those guys don't get going and don't get the yards after the catch. You can guarantee Christian Watson's going to be covered deep down the field as well. So it could come down to Wicks and Melton and maybe Malik Heath if he gets out on the field. Somebody's going to have to step up and really be that really good number three wide receiver. Green Bay's going to need it in this game. I really think it has the opportunity to be Dontavian Wicks, although I called a breakout game last week and that did not happen. But somebody needs to step up and be that third player who can be relied upon, which has been an issue for Dontavian Wicks, but relied upon within this offense. Number nine, Green Bay's going to have to handle the noise. That place can be raucous and rowdy and extremely loud. And it is one of the worst procedural penalty teams of all time, I think. Like they're easily worst in the league. So you can't have those stupid penalties coming back to haunt you, and you have to be able to handle the noise in a real significant way. Don't line up offsides. Don't jump offsides. No false starts. Those are things Green Bay's got to clean up, especially coming after a brutal performance when it came to those type of penalties against Miami. And number 10, which team can stay balanced longer? Going to have a huge, huge factor in this one. If Green Bay can stay balanced between Josh Jacobs and throwing the football and anything's on the table at all times, advantage Green Bay. If Detroit can go play action or go to, you know, Sonic and Knuckles and do everything that they want to and dictate terms, huge advantage Detroit. So the team that can stay balanced, that can get both phases of their offense working, both pass and run, get that play action attack going. Maybe both of them do, right? But you don't want to end up for either team in a situation where you're down 24-3 like Green Bay was last time, because then you get far more one-dimensional. And the team that has to go one-dimensional first is probably just going to lose, quite frankly. So those are my 10 keys. The trenches, the physicality, Jordan Love's performance, middle of the field open, yards after contact, red zone efficiency, beware the trick plays, Wicks, Melton, and Heath, somebody needs to step up, handling the noise, and then balance on offense between running the football and throwing the football. My prediction for this one, drum roll please, Packers 30, Lions 21. Packers pick up a 9-point victory on the road against the Detroit Lions. This has been building. I think Detroit's coming back to earth just a little bit. I think the Packers are trending up at the right time. Detroit's massively banged up. Green Bay relatively healthy. Packers win 30-21. Missed field goal by Detroit. Big forced turnover by Green Bay that leads to an easy touchdown, or maybe it's a pick six, something like that. But Green Bay gets a 30-21 win over the Detroit Lions. Reminder, pre and post game shows live will be on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel. Pre-game will be at 4 p.m. Central Time, so a little bit earlier. We're going to go from about 4 to 5. And then as soon as the game is done, I will do a live post-game show as well. Enjoy the game, everyone. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boomhandle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, SoCal Pack, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Lovin' Football, Dylan Pat Scott, and Bobby Santoro. I hope you guys really, really take a moment to just enjoy the heck out of this game. It should be a really, really fun one. Potential game of the year candidate. I know I'll be enjoying it. And that's all I got for you guys today. I'll see you soon on the live shows, but enjoy this one on especially today. It's a big Go Pack Go day. But until next time, and as always, say it every single time, Go Pack Go.